Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here. On today's episode of Beers with Chad, I'm joined by my friend Zach Bartel. Zach is the owner of SoCal Powerlifting. He started out several years ago coaching at Juggernaut, then opened his own gym. He's been tremendously successful, has over 200 members at his powerlifting gym here in Irvine, California. So we talk about the impact of coronavirus, quarantine, all that stuff on his business, as he's now doing some business coaching and his business is continuing to thrive, you know, in all times. Some advice as of what gym owners and fit business people can do to, you know, ready themselves for something like this to flourish through it, and make some predictions on, you know, what the state of the fitness industry may look like post-corona quarantine, whenever that is. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Check out jtsstrength.com for all Juggernaut coaching and apparel. Use JTS10 for 10% off from Virus, or JugLife for 20% off from Roan, and use code CWS to save on all things Renaissance periodization, including the RP Diet app. Thanks.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
All right, Zach, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Glad to be here, Chad.
Glad to have you. So, you are a previous guest, so people may be familiar with you, and they can go back and check that episode out. But to give them a quick introduction, you are, what, 23 now?
I'm now 23.
23. Owner, operator of SoCal Powerlifting.
That's correct.
Is that a Newport address or Irvine?
No, we're Irvine now.
In Irvine, California. You started that when you were 20?
20.
And how many members do you guys have now?
238.
238 members. And that's obviously a very successful powerlifting gym, and successful to the point where you've even begun doing some business coaching for other small gym and owners and fitness professionals. And this is a time where a lot of people are needing coaching. They're needing guidance. They're, you know, I think everyone's at a bit of a loss because there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. So let's jump in. How have you and SoCal Powerlifting handled gym closures and this corona mania?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny because when you open a business, you know, everyone talks to you about, like, you know, the possibility of it failing and what that looks like and how you have to have X amount of cash reserves and things like that. But you can't ever predict something like this. I mean, this has been completely unprecedented. I've had any experience dealing with something like this, or even had mentors that have been through something like this. So a lot of it, you know, we've just kind of had to figure out as we go.
Yeah, this was definitely not on the radar, you know.
Yeah.
As someone who's not classically trained in business, I'm willing to take a guess that they don't cover global pandemics in business school.
Yeah, well, I didn't go to business school, so, you know, but either way, and you didn't either. You studied history, but yeah. So, I mean, with us, right, we've done a really good job of pivoting. You know, we've lent out a ton of our equipment, a majority of our equipment, to current members. We've helped them set up their garage gyms. We've switched their training to what they have available, right? So if some people have a dumbbell but not a barbell, right, we, you know, switch the workouts to be more dumbbell centric and continue to do whatever we can to make some sort of progression and, you know, build general physical preparedness right now, and so we can, you know, hit the ground running once we get back in the gym. But, you know, really, what I've tried to do is just double down on the community, focus on the people we have in our, you know, quote unquote, in our building. They're not actually in our building right now, but and finding ways to increase value and help them through this. So I feel like we've done a really good job, and, you know, I think some of the stuff we've done, I might be able to help some other gym owners or fitness professionals out there to do the same with their community.
So as you go on social media and see what other businesses are doing and stuff, what are some errors that you see companies making right now?
So I think one of the things that I've been seeing a lot is people, you know, maybe trainers or people at gyms that no longer obviously have gyms to train people at, they've been doing a lot of, like, virtual, you know, coaching and stuff, which is awesome. But I've also seen a lot of like free, you know, training classes, or, you know, anyone and their mother can join. And I kind of get it. I mean, it's definitely a marketing tactic. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're offering a service for free like that, and it's not, you know, some form of an onboarding experience or something like that, or a package, you're really devaluing your service and kind of undercutting your paying clients, because you're probably having clients that you already have worked with in the past or currently work with, and they're joining these classes, but now you're offering it up to everyone, you know, to try to maybe get more people in the door. I'm seeing a lot of that going on. I think...
Let me interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being too generous of people's spirit here, but I could also see people doing that as a thing of like,
totally,
this is a very stressful time for people. Everyone's kind of having a hard time financially, so yeah. I'd like to give where you can.
Yeah, and I definitely can see that.
So there's no space for altruism in your heart, Zach?
You know, it makes it hard, right? Because if you have, let's say, you know, there's so many trainers, coaches out there. Now the online coaching market is extremely saturated. There's no room for anyone. And if everyone is offering, you know, free training and stuff, overall, it's devaluing the service across the board. I think that's where I see more of an issue. But a bigger issue, I think, is those businesses and those, you know, gyms or coaches that aren't doing anything and they're kind of just sitting on their hands waiting this thing out. I think that is where we need to get moving. I think now is the time, if ever, to look at the things that need work on the back end of your business and your business model. You can kind of see what were the problems going into this and really work on those right now. And you can also start to see, like, how can you improve those things when we are able to return to whatever our new normal is. Now's the time for movement. Yeah.
That's been a thing for me. I feel like I've been working more during this time than before. And, you know, being an online business, have been affected certainly by, you know, if you're selling online coaching and everyone's gym is closed, not as many people buying online coaching. And then, you know, obviously the financial stress for so many people doesn't have them, you know, looking to buy quite as much. But so I've taken this time to, you know, we started working with a new email marketing company, kind of revamping social media strategy, making an absurd amount of content. Like, I just had it loaded in the hopper right now to just be machine gunning it out to the world.
Yeah. Well, and that's the right thing to do. Now, I think everyone's basal level of anxiety has gone up, right? A lot of business owners, whether or not they're actually working more, they probably feel like they are because they're constantly thinking about the what ifs and what's going on and stressing. But they don't realize it, you know, it's the movement, it's the actual checking the boxes off the checklist and getting things done. It's going to make them feel better. And just like what you're doing is like, you know, not necessarily capitalizing on what's going on, but looking in the mirror and saying, hey, okay, here are the things I can do. I acknowledge things I can't do. And hey, let's actually focus in on these things. Like for example, myself, I've taken this time to just double down on the accounting. Accounting is okay for me. I've never been super into all the numbers and stuff. Metrics mean a lot to me, but when it comes to dollars and stuff, that's more so a byproduct of what we do. But for me, it's been like, okay, let's see how long we can exist at a certain level, given this thing goes however many months, and really start to project what that looks like. So I have a better idea of how healthy we are in the long term. Now, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, I had that at a 7. It's pretty good. But now I'm trying to creep that into like an understanding of like a 9 to a 10 of like, I've got this down pat. I know exactly what to expect, how long we can last this way. And then from there, making decisions based on what the financial model says. I think looking at things like that, stuff that you've kind of been avoiding for a long time because things are good, it's now the time to take the microscope to the business model and the back end, you know, systems and see what's going on.
And the most significant part, I know, for my business, for your business, is recurring revenue.
Yes.
Talk about the role that recurring revenue has for in-person gym businesses.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of a gold standard mark that we want to be on the recurring side for a business like mine, if I've always looked at around 68 to 70%, you know, and obviously that's enough that pays your overhead. You know, that pays you, that covers everything we need to cover. That's the metric that's most important, or should be most important in the business. Now, there's a lot of gyms and fitness businesses that operate on packages or pay in fulls or things like that. I think now is the time to realize that that type of stuff can definitely be detrimental. And having that reoccurring to cover and pay your coaches during a time like this is so crucial and essential. I can't stress that enough. So, you know, in a fitness business, you know, even in mine, like I have people that come in our doors and they're like, you know, they'd rather pay. We do long-term agreements, you know, 3, 6, 12 month commitments, but it's all monthly billing so that we can project and we can make better decisions long-term versus having, let's say, a bunch of cash up front and then being like, oh, cool, we have this money now, let's go spend it. It gives you sustainability. And at the end of the day, what I think is most important in a time like this, or, you know, building a business that can withstand, let's say, anything, it's the sustainability. And reoccurring revenue will always give you that. Whereas the packages and the sessions and things, those are the businesses that are hurting right now. You know, your cycle studios that are $30 at the door every time you come in and do your spin class, those are the ones that are hurting. You know, your personal trainers that charge, you know, for a 12 session here, 6 session here, those are the ones that are hurting. But, you know, your fitness businesses that are reoccurring based, that are maybe even class-based, your CrossFit gyms usually, gyms like mine, gyms that are class-based, right? Those are the ones that are probably doing okay right now. If they're doing the right thing, if they're handling this properly, if they found ways to continue to provide value to their clients and keep clients showing up. Like, I've been extremely proud. We've had one cancellation throughout this entire thing. That's a metric that I am, you know, totally proud of, because
Do you want to mention that person by name?
No. No, I don't. That would be bad. He actually might listen to this. He's actually a really cool guy. And, you know, this is one of those things, like, it's, you know, everyone's going through something different. Everyone's struggling. But, you know, I think...
Yeah, you hear that, cool guy? You're the one black mark on Zach's impeccable record.
Yeah, it was up until last week. I was like, yes, we've had none. And then there was one. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, one out of 238, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think that goes down to continuing to provide value. And then, you know, the community. But on the reoccurring side, I think now's the time to get away from your packages. I think get away from the painfuls, talk about more long-term commitments, talk about monthly, getting that, you know, monthly recurring revenue up and focusing on that metric over everything else. And then on top of that, finding other verticals like sessions, like, you know, nutrition or other, or supplements or whatever you're kind of selling at your facility, apparel, you can look at those things too. And that definitely pads what your recurring is. But the reoccurring is what, at the end of the day, is going to keep your business healthy through anything, including a global pandemic.
I think it's going to be a tough thing for a lot of owners to resist, is when gyms reopen and, you know, they've been out of business for 6 weeks or 2 months or 10 weeks or whatever it ends up being, and they've just bled so much cash, you know, on their ranch or their mortgage, whatever it is, to not be like, all right, let me get a bunch of package deals so I can get this cash infusion up front.
And I think it's situational. I think if you're a business and you are very close to your bottom line and you are in the red and you need cash now, you call JG Wentworth. No, that came up my. No, you. Then yes,
great,
I think
great branding by JG Wentworth.
Yeah, 877 cash now. No, you know I. Exactly, you're doing it now. No, I think, yes, in certain situations like that where you need the cash, you have to pay your bills, I could see that being a thing, and that's okay with me. But in a quote-unquote normal situation, I think you want to get away from it. And so if you don't have to get the cash up front, if it's not like you need to refill your accounts ASAP or else your lender's going to come at you and break your knees, I think that's when you know, you can do that then. But I think other than that, unless the situation is, you know, in an extreme, sign those people up for long-term memberships. They'll stick around and everything will be a lot smoother and more sustainable. Yeah.
And also the key to having the people stick around is, and I think the thing that you're most proud of in SoCal is the community that you've created.
Yeah.
So with everyone, you know, stuck in their houses, how have you continued to foster community during this?
Yeah. Yeah. So community is kind of our North Star. That's something that is definitely single-handedly the most important thing in my business. It's something that I've, you know, tried to cultivate as much as possible. And to be honest, as you get bigger, it's almost more difficult because, you know, we're at the point now where, you know, it sucks to say, but like sometimes I don't know everyone's name. I mean, that's something that I never thought about when we started out, when we had 15 clients to 50 clients to 100 clients. Like, I knew everyone's names. And so, but really what we've done to double down on that is my coaches, we've all done a good job of engaging with their personal clients, bringing all the clients together. Before all this, it was group events, and now we do virtual group events. So we did our first, we did a trivia night last weekend, and actually before that we did a group Q&A with all the coaches, and we had that as a group event as well. But trivia night was really fun. That was last weekend, and we did another one last night. And really what it happened was, yeah, the trivia was cool. Yeah, the PhD history professor that we have as a client, like, just murdered all of us. But it was also just such a nice hangout. We all, you know, hung out, brought a beverage, which was the kind of how our community events usually are together when we are at the gym and hosting those. It's that type of stuff. It's going above and beyond. It's checking in on your clients. It's giving them a call if you haven't heard or they're not completing their workouts online and seeing kind of what's going on. I think that's been the big difference maker. We've also tried to do a good job of, on our social media, highlighting the clients that have really made do. You know, some of the cool, creative ways they've built racks or setups. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen a couple.
They're bench pressing, you know, with the bar up on chairs.
Exactly.
As their rack. And
exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah, like, we actually want to do
milk jugs and cinder blocks.
Yeah, we want to do a competition for, like, most creative setup. I'm sure that's already been done in the last week or two, but, you know, in sort of an in-house thing. And that's kind of where, you know, another big thing is, during a time like this, unless you need the new revenue coming in, I really think people, owners, should be doubling down on their community, finding other ways to engage and call it internal marketing. Find ways to make people buy in even more, band together. You know, create Facebook groups, text message groups, do, you know, House Party. That app's pretty fun. I don't know if you've seen that, but finding ways to get clients talking and commingling together. We also created a Discord. I don't know if you know what a Discord is, Chad. You're kind of too old for this. But for all my gamers out there who probably play video games, Discord's kind of like a group voice chat channel. So we created a SoCal Powerlifting Discord to kind of connect everyone, and so that the clients that all play video games can, like, play games together and chat and, like, keep in touch. Stuff like that. And, you know, going above and beyond and finding those little ways can really make a huge difference. You'd be surprised.
I can't game, bro.
True. You got a broken thumb thing.
I had thumb injuries. They pulled the pin out of this on Friday.
Was it still numb, or could you feel it coming out?
I could feel it very much so.
Oh God!
They did numb my thumb, but I felt like the shaft of my thumb was very numb. Yet the tip that actually mattered was still not.
The tip was sensitive, Chad.
Yes, quite. And it was exactly what you would have guessed. Like, it was just a big pair of tweezers. And my skin had slightly grown over the top of it.
Oh shit! So they dig it out a little bit.
Dig it out and this.
Damn.
And I mean, it was past the first knuckle of my thumb. So
did it, like, bleed and, like?
Yeah, I mean, you can see the tip of it now. But
how's that feel?
It's fine now, but I'm just looking forward to being able to move it around soon.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you guys are doing a lot of great things.
Yeah.
So as we can now, you know, maybe see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's the train coming right at us. Who knows?
Seriously.
But there are going to be places that begin to reopen. And, and we saw in that, you know, part of phase one of Trump's sort of reopening strategy, gyms were included in that. I don't think that that's going to be the 24-hour fitnesses of the world. I think it is going to be the SoCal powerliftings and private studio types of gyms.
Yep.
You know, what do you think the future holds? You know, what is going to be the new normal?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised. You know, obviously, first of all, you know, I'm no political science major or anything, or epidemiologist. But, you know, obviously it comes down to the governor. And so for us in California, it comes down to Newsom and what they decide. I could see each individual state's governor coming out with some sort of stipulations that involve amount of bodies per square foot or per 100 square feet or whatever that number is. You know, I see that as you need to keep it to this many people in your facility based on how large you are. You know, where I see that going is more of a reservation structure. So if you are an open gym format, you know, finding ways to book clients so they can reserve slots, so there's X amount of bodies and you're not going over that capacity. on the other end, with the bigger gyms not opening, with your LA Fitnesses, your 24s, your Gold's Gyms, you know, those type of gyms probably staying closed, you know, and even if they weren't, even if they didn't, let's say, go bankrupt, they have to rehire their whole staff, and it's going to be a while. Now is the time to capitalize. I mean, you know, this is the time where our studio, our private gyms can really kind of take charge. And so I think making sure that you're ready, making sure that your staff's ready, that they, you know, are ready to work hard, finding ways to make sure that you are following all the standards put forth, whatever those standards may be, because who knows, right? What if they could come out and be like, well, only, you know, 5 people in the gym at one time, no matter how big you are. I mean, that's ridiculous, but who knows? Because I don't know if Gavin Newsom is really thinking about private gyms right now. Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably
and not. So I'd say find ways to work with what's given to you. I'd say what we're going to do is probably booking links, keep X amount of bodies in the facility at all times, you know, reservation slots for working out, which probably won't be a bad thing. I mean, now people who took 3 hours to do their squat workout will have to take an hour and a half and stop talking and sitting on their phone every other rep. I'm talking to you like half of my members. But yeah, I think things like that are going to be really important. It's hard to predict what that's going to look like, but you're going to have people that are so hungry to get after it. You're going to have people that are willing to pay now your premium price and rate because that's all that's available. And so I think collectively, though, what we have to do is not devalue what we're doing, not do a bunch of sales and a bunch of Facebook 6-week challenges. I think now is the time to make sure you have a sustainable business. Sign people up, you know, at your rates, you know, don't cut deals unless you have to. And I think we're going to get a surplus of people. I mean, now's the time to work. So you should be right now planning for that and building out that back end so that once that happens, you have the system to handle the influx.
Yeah, I definitely think that there is going to be a surge of fitness business in all regards coming out of this because people have just felt cooped up. Relatively inactive.
Yeah.
If they're like me, they've been eating too much, drinking too much, getting out of shape.
Yeah.
But there is going to be that sort of surge on my, you know, my side of this and the purely online coaching space. If I had to take, you know, if I had to guess at it, I think of course there's going to be some people who are in such financial stress that even, you know, the $27 a month that like our AI coaching stuff is going to be too much for them. And I understand that and feel for that. I also think there's going to be just as many or more people who are paying their one-on-one coach $200, $250, whatever it is per month. And they're like, man, I can't afford that anymore. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if they were to want some totally customized coaching for about $1 a day, I have something to offer them. But,
You know, the other thing too, you know, I've talked to you about this, you know, I've been playing with the idea of a gym expansion and growing into a bigger facility. And I actually was, you know, planning on doing that before all this happened. But if you are a gym owner and you are looking towards expanding, you know, post quarantine, post COVID, I would say now would be the time. Cause you're also not only are you going to get the surge in people probably ready to get out of their houses and get super jacked, but also you have these people with all these garage gyms they don't need anymore. You're going to be able to buy a lot of equipment at a discount that's also going to allow you to expand and fill your facility with some pretty nice stuff that people want to get out of their garage because they don't need it anymore. So that was another thing that I've kind of been ready for.
Want to get it out of their garage or when a 24-hour fitness goes out of business, that is a massive...
That's true. Exactly. So that would be the time to kind of be ready. If you have the cash reserves, if you're looking to expand, you know, wait till you have kind of a whatever the green light might be. Talk to your people you trust and, you know, to advise you and stuff. But I would say look at kind of the stuff that's going to come out. It's going to be a lot of used equipment at a deal. It's going to be a lot of people hungry, ready to work. You know, another thing we've been doing is we're starting to kind of run a campaign where we're focusing on people who want to join, who want coaching, who want to work with us. Obviously, we're not taking them on yet, but doing a deal where they can sign up now. You know, we come up with kind of a payment plan for that. And so that once we are able to resume, quote unquote, our normal operations, whatever that is at that time, they're the first in the door. Because honestly, at our current location, I see us having to cap our membership pretty quickly or have only a certain amount of people going through that onboarding experience at one time. So, you know, kind of another idea that you can play around with if you need maybe some cash now or you're trying to plan to get people in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time to see where things go. I mean, there's so much in the world is up in the air for these next months, years, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed our new normal. I mean, as a business owner, I'm sure you feel the same way of like now pandemic is going to be in our scope of what possibly could go wrong with my next decision, right? Yeah. I know it will for me. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's probably going to hang with us for a long time.
Definitely. Well, thanks, buddy, for coming over. And where can people follow you in SoCal?
Totally. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at my personal is at Bartel Barbell. SoCal Powerlifting is at SoCal _powerlifting. We've also got, you know, Facebook, all that good stuff. But yeah, our Instagram, we do a lot of stuff there, talking about lifting, talking about our clients, kind of what we do. And personal side, I've kind of drifted off into more of the, you know, business coaching, consulting, mindset type of stuff. Some jujitsu in there too. Trampoline tricks.
Do you ever regret not calling your gym Barbarian Barbell so you could
attack? Barbarians, yeah. Barbarians. You know, I don't. I can't say I do. I never was a fan of having your name in the gym because, you know, I don't know. I like it when there's a brand involved. It's different. Now, will I open a trampoline studio after this to be continued?
Any click at SoCal Powerlifting that wants to refer to them as Bartel's Barbarians?
You know, it's
are they even aware of this?
They're not aware because all of those people from that OG group, you know, when we were training at Juggernaut, I think they've all either had a kid or they're doing other things now. But, you know, back now we can look back and, you know, reminisce about the times when we used to do 12 accessories in one workout for 10 by 10 on every single one or something like that. Yeah.
You do enjoy accessories.
I do.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. People go check Zach's stuff out.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.